I have to talk into the microphone?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Kathy, and I'm an addict. Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Oh, God. I'm really nervous about standing up here. This is not one of the things that I really enjoy doing and part of service work. I was just sharing with my sponsor earlier today that I give back in other ways, and this is not one of the ways that I enjoy giving back. So please bear with me until my God kicks in. They gave me the topic, when the pleasure turns to pain. And initially, I didn't think that I had anything to share on this topic. But what I have found out in revisiting my steps is that I have a lot to share on this topic. And probably the most present thing that's going on in my life right now that has brought me the greatest pleasure has been watching my daughter in this process for 9 years. And as a result of me watching my daughter in this process for 9 years, I've avoided dealing with my own issues and dealing with my own pleasures. And one of the things that I've taken great pleasure in was being a mother, a wife, a friend, a sister, a lover, and all the other things that come along with pleasurable things. Since that time, what has been occurring in my life is I've been doing a lot of pain because now I'm faced with being alone with me. And in that process, that means that I have to take a look at myself in the mirror on a much deeper level. And that's very painful because, see, the things that I took pleasure in was being a caretaker, taking care of everyone else's needs and forgetting about my own. And just recently, my daughter and I had to come to a crossroads in our relationship. My 32-year-old daughter lives with me, and I've been doing a lot of pain because I had to make a decision, and I had to ask my 32-year-old daughter to move out. And one of the reasons I had to come to that decision was because, see, what I've learned about myself in dealing with things that make me feel good, and that's one of the reasons why I used, is so that I could feel good. And for a while in the beginning, those drugs did work for me. And anything that takes me outside of myself, I find immediate pleasure in. And so what's been happening right now that's causing me a great deal of pain for the last week and a half is because I had to ask my daughter to move out, I've been feeling a lot of pain because now I have to sit with myself and I have to take a look at myself. And the things that used to please me are no longer working. So I used to like to shop. One of the things that I learned about myself is that I've always dressed up my outsides so that people would think that my insides were matching. And what I've come to find out is I was only eluding myself. That the people close to me that know me the best always knew that I was hiding behind my mask and my images. And I have to take off my glasses so I'm not hiding, because, see, I will hide. When I first came to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I was in here my first 2 to 3 years, running after meeting after meeting after meeting. I also came in here, I wasn't legally married, but I was in a committed relationship. And in that process, I ended up eventually getting legally married. And during that time, I stayed married for 25 years. But in that 25 years, I continued to take care of everyone but me. I showed up at meetings, and I lived in meetings for my first 3 years of my recovery. And I found pleasure in the meetings. I stayed clean. And I have to tell you the most important thing up here before I go any further is my clean date. It's 5/11/87. And that's probably the most consistent thing that I could stand up here and tell you all that I've done since I've been clean, is stayed clean, in spite of all the pain that I've gone through and endured in this journey of recovery. been such a struggle for me. And when I was asked to speak on this topic, I really didn't want to speak about it. Because, see, one of the things that I know about myself is I do a lot of avoiding. I will avoid me at all costs. I will do whatever it takes to abandon myself. And see, in all my life, I suffered from abandonment issues. And one of the things that I learned about myself is no one abandons me but me. I will abandon myself before someone else will abandon me. I will allow myself to be a victim. And in turn, I will become a victimizer. And I take great pleasure in that, victimizing someone else. Because see, what I've learned about myself is when I'm hurting, I want someone to pay for my pain. And you may not be the person that injured me, but you better look out, because if you come my way and I'm feeling that pain, you will get hurt. It's not something that I'm proud of, but that's who I became in the last few years of my recovery. And I stand up here to tell you all that just because I have the amount of time that I have does not exclude me from going through the things that I've been going through. Because something that the basic text tells me is that no addict seeking recovery has to die seeking recovery. And see, and one of the things that I told you all is that I've been consistent for 23 years in staying clean. And I continue to seek recovery. And one of the things that has helped me in this journey and being able to identify the fact that I take pleasure in some of the things that I take pleasure in is redoing these steps. My sponsor just recently put me on the fourth step again. And, you know, I complained and complained and complained. Why do I have to do another fourth step? Why do I have to do another fourth step? And what I'm finding out, for me, it's necessary. See, my pain got so great that I've been in a fetal position for quite some time. And when I get in those places, what I do is I isolate. And when I isolate, I shut down. And when I shut down, I get the case of the efforts. And that's a dangerous place for someone like me to be. And because of my arrogance, I will not pick up a drug, but I'll stay balled up. One of the things that I took great pleasure and pride in was the fact that I would show up. In my arrogance and my cockiness, when people didn't know who I was, when I'd show up at a meeting and act like they didn't know who I was, I would cop an attitude. And then I started looking at the intolerances that started happening in my life and in my recovery and the indifferences I start feeling. Which brought me some pain. Because now I'm feeling very uncomfortable when I go to meetings. Because what I do is I start judging others. I start taking their inventories. And I start finding myself thinking that I'm unique and I'm different than them. See, those are some of the things that used to bring me great pleasure. And what I found out about myself is it's only a sign that I'm very insecure and I feel very inadequate. And when I'm around a crowd of people that I feel very insecure and inadequate around, those defects will come out. And so what I do is I use some of those things as a defense mechanism to think that I'm protecting myself. And what I found is that I'm only harming myself. What I found out about pain and pleasure is that they don't go together. Pleasure is another form of entertainment. See, in some of the ways that I used to entertain myself when I came in here and when I was dealing with pain was I looked for it outside of myself. And one of the things that I found out about myself is I'm a very flirtatious, sensual, sexual woman. And what I've also found out is that I took pleasure in that. And along my journey in being that way, what I have found out is I always thought that I was hurting someone else. And I definitely was, but the person I was hurting the most was myself. See, I was giving people a message, particularly men, because of my flirting, that there may be a possibility that I may lay down with you. And I would flirt and flirt until it got to the point where now I'm caught. Now it's time to pay up. And seeing what I found out about paying up is it doesn't feel good. See, there's always a price to pay. And I'm tired of paying them. They're too high. It's a high cost for low living. See, and I'm not saying I'm living low today, but what I am saying is when I'm hurt, I will do whatever's necessary to make me feel good. Except pick up the drug. Because, see, I know where that will take me. Very difficult for me to stand up here and allow myself to expose myself and what I've been doing to myself. But by the same token, they say we're always the last to know. And fortunately for me, I have been the last to know because, see, the pain got so great that it brought me to my knees. And when I came to my knees this time, I had a call on that God that you all gave me when I came in here 23 years ago. And one of the struggles that I had was asking that God to forgive me. See, I've never thought I was worthy of true forgiveness. And in order for me to be able to forgive people, I had to learn how to forgive myself. And so this time around, when I was brought to my knees by the pain, the God of my understanding kept me there for quite some time. And what he made me see was somebody that one day I will become. And the only way I will become that person is if I give him the opportunity to do what his will is for me in my life instead of doing what I've always been doing and getting what I've always got, pain. My pain has been pretty unbearable these last couple of weeks to the point where I've been thinking about using and not telling people about it. So what I've been doing is I've been using other mechanisms to fill that void. Because like I said, I'm arrogant, I'm cocky, and I don't want to have to come back in here and pick up another 24-hour key tag because God knows I won't make it back here. See, I know that I have another run in me, but what I don't have is another recovery. And in these 23 years, it's been very difficult. See, I took some pleasure in coming back to Pennsylvania a few years ago when my father was dying. And it gave me great pleasure and honor to be able to be a part of that process when he was dying and going home. And as well as my father passing away and me being able to be here for him, I also had lost a 25-year marriage. And shortly thereafter, a few years later, I lost my mother. We just buried her 9 months ago. And I've had pleasure in being a part of their life because, see, Narcotics Anonymous gave me that opportunity to be a daughter to both my parents. And not once did I lose myself, nor did I complain. But the pain and the emptiness I felt afterwards. And I still feel pain and sadness. Because I miss my mother. I miss my father. Particularly since I'm a parent. And particularly since I'm asking my 32-year-old daughter to move out of my home. See, one of the things that my mother always made sure she demanded from her 7 children was respect. And that's something that I never knew how to do with my daughter. And the reason I didn't know how to do those things was because I didn't respect me. If I let me talk to me any kind of way, then I'll let anybody talk to me any kind of way. And what I'm learning about myself is that people only treat me the way I treat myself. So if I don't treat myself with the utmost respect, I can't expect anyone else to do it either. So when I find myself becoming flirtatious, I need to check my motives. And when I'm doing those acts, it's usually because I'm feeling lonely, sad, less than, inadequate, not good enough, not pretty enough. So what I've learned to do is to seek women who have the qualities that I'm looking for, to become the woman that I know that God has created me to be. It's been a very difficult, long road. It's been very painful and lonely at times. I just recently ended a relationship. Because, see, one thing that I've learned about myself is for the last 25 to 30 years, I've settled. And I'm so tired of settling just for the sake of saying I have someone or I'm in a relationship. And in the meantime, my eyes are roaming and roving. My tongue is wagging. I become Pavlov's dogs by salivating. And then if a man pays a little bit of attention or says, hey, how you doing? I go with, oh, he really wants me. We might be in a committed relationship. And then we're already married and he doesn't even know it. So, see, I have to be very careful about my behaviors. I have to watch how I dress because, see, I dress seductively. And by nature, I'm a sensual woman. I love everything there is about a man, about sex. I love it all. But what I have to realize is, you know what, my messages and my aura that I give off mislead people. And not only do they mislead somebody else, they mislead me. To allow myself to tread into water that I don't need to be going into. This year has probably been one of the best years of my recovery because of the opportunity that God has given me to allow people to come into my life, to allow me to just be me, and love me and nurture me through this pain. Because one of the most humbling experiences for me in these last few months was allowing the people close to me to see me cry. To hold me up when I'm feeling the pain of making a decision to ask my daughter to move out. See, one of the things that I've learned about my pleasure was I took pleasure in taking care of my 32-year-old daughter. I felt important. She needs me. That's my responsibility. And what I found in that process is it's part of my control. My inability to allow her to grow and become the woman that she needs to become. Let me treat her like the little girl that I still think she is. See, I'm trying to go back to make up for time that I had lost because of my using. See, I've been clean longer than I've been using. My daughter went through her first 8 years of my addiction. And I was not the best mother. I didn't raise my daughter the first 8 years. Someone else took care of her. And it's only but for the grace of God that she's here today. And she's clean. But because of my inability to be able to get honest with myself, because, see, I get truth and honesty mixed up. See, I play secret squirrel. And when my back gets up against the wall, nobody knows what Kathy's doing. Not even me. And see, and again, I take pleasure in that because I can hide. You know, I know how to hide. And I'll tell people you can't find me. And they won't. But see, well, who does find me out is God, because what I do in the dark does come out in the light. And God always reveals it to me in ways that I don't like it to be revealed. One of the greatest gifts that this program has given me has been an opportunity to develop relationships with women. See, when I came in here, I didn't like any women. I didn't trust you all because you were just like me. I wanted your man, you wanted mine, and I wanted your husband and whatever else you had and whatever I can get from you. I didn't trust women. And the reason I didn't trust you, and it took me a long time to learn how to trust you women, because I had to learn how to trust me. Today I'm trustworthy, so if somebody leaves me with their husband, they know I'm not going to lay down and sleep with them. They know I'm not going to flirt with them. What I've learned about myself is I try to treat women today like I want to be treated. I'm still not okay with men, so when single men come around me, I try to run the other way, particularly when I'm, like, feeling insecure and less than, and, you know, I just need a hug or I want someone to hold me. What I do today is I hold my teddy bear. I have a teddy bear. And see, he don't give me any lip. And I take great pleasure in holding him at night. And let me tell you, he's a good snuggler and he's a good hugger. And sometimes he even kisses me. This journey has been a rough one. But recovery doesn't necessarily have to be rough. It's only in what you make it. One of the things that I could leave you all with, and hopefully you'll get some hope from this, is that no matter what, no matter what you go through, no matter what goes on in your life, you don't have to take anything. I mean nothing. I've had surgeries. I got a lot of health problems, a direct result of this disease. And believe me, the pain some days is very unbearable. But one of the things that I know about myself is that I have a very high threshold for pain. Not just physical pain, but emotional pain. But pain has also become my greatest motivator. And when I'm feeling some pain, you better believe I'm getting up off my tail and I'm doing something about it. Because I know that pain is optional. I no longer have to sit and feel what I feel today. And that I don't have to do this alone. So one of the things I want to leave you all with is that no matter what, whatever you're going through, whatever you may go through, or whatever life embarks upon you, you don't have to take anything. Grab somebody, talk to somebody, I don't care if it's a stranger, dump it all, but once it's out of you, let it go. And get a God box if you can. And put your stuff in that God box and seal that God box so you can't get in it, because once you leave it in that box, there's no taking it back out. My name's Kathy. Thanks for letting me share.
My name is Lisa. I'm an addict. Thanks, Kathy. God's through it. Thanks, James. I came to a retreat with Tracy. And I want to thank you. And I didn't even know I was going to be speaking. Because this is my first camping retreat. And I came with a bunch of other women. That I didn't know. I'm just like Cassie. I have 4 children. I'm a caretaker. Sometimes caretaking is good and sometimes it's a character defect. But in my nature, sometimes, most of the time, it's a character defect. I like to take care of people. And I forget about myself. In the process of taking care of you, I love you so much. And I lose me in return. Cassie was talking about her children. Well, I got a daughter. Well, I got 3 daughters and a son. And the hardest thing is for me is to let go. I need to know when to let go. And I need to know when to surrender. And I need to know, like, I always look at what looks good, what smells good, what tastes good. But once I get in it, it's no longer good after you be in it for a while. And my clean date is November 2nd, 1993. In 3 months, we'll have 17 years. I was talking to Tommy in the car, about I always wanted respect, but I got disrespected. I always wanted love. I always got rejected. I come from abandonment issues. Loneliness is a character defect. I wouldn't wish on nobody. Boredom, because it takes you places that you don't want to go. Kathy talked about flirtation. I flirt. Because if I like you, I like what I like. Okay, but it might not always be good what I like. I've been married twice, separated, been in abusive relationships. I come from that self-acceptance pamphlet, the triangle of self-accession. And sometimes now, since I've been around a minute now, I need to take another look at some things in the way I do things, especially in relationships, because relationships is a challenge. It's just been a challenge. Because when I came in this program in 1991, I was already broken, beaten, wounded, needed help, and even got wounded by some of y'all women. So I didn't trust y'all. But one thing I know about me, when I was out there using and stuff like that, I was vicious. I caused some harm, and some harm was caused to me. But what I know about the 8th step, I don't want to do that. I don't want to put nobody else on my list. But I got to be so ever careful about what I do in this process of recovery, and I got to trust the process, and I got to come in here and tell y'all when I don't feel good, when my so-called boyfriend disrespects me, talks to me like I ain't shit. And then when I got a 21-year-old daughter tells me that you're so pretty, you're so beautiful, and the inside, Mom, you don't need nobody to validate you. Because there is a beautiful person inside. Lately, I can identify everything, like what Kathy was saying about the loneliness, learning how to be with self, learning how to do you, learning how to go out with yourself. Because if I wait on you to go out with me, I'm going to be depressed and I'm going to be down. So I take me to the show till I get comfortable. I take me to the show. Sometimes it's not comfortable, and then sometimes it is. But if y'all do it enough, it'll be all right. And I was surprised when Tracy asked me, well, I heard that you wanted to go on a trip. And I will take the risk to be with other women, but if you hurt me, you only got one chance to hurt me, then I have to love you from afar. Because I'm just not going to put myself out there to be nobody's doormat. You can't just walk over me and do me any old kind of way. Because I want to be treated the way I treat you. If I'm good to you, I expect that in return. And if I've done something to you and I don't know that I've done something to you and you hating on me and I don't know, then whose fault is that? That's your fault, because you should come and tell me in a loving and caring way so that we can squash the stuff. Pain. I have pain of betrayal. I lied, I cheated. I stole, but I lied to me, I cheated me. Married, had an affair because I wasn't being treated right. But just because I wasn't treated right didn't mean that I had to go out and have an affair. But it was fun while it lasted until I got caught, and then the pain. And then when my husband showed my 8-step to my daughter, my 21-year-old daughter, and how to betray you and how to disrespect. And I don't believe you've done all that stuff in your step, like that stuff. And it ain't always with a man and a woman, but it could be your children. It could be the pain of your mother just watching her like that in the inside. Taking care of my mother. But she don't want to take care of herself, so I had to surrender that too. Don't want to take your medicine. See, I live with someone who has HIV. I live with someone who has high blood pressure. I live with someone that doesn't want to keep her hygiene up. But when I was coming to camp and she wanted to go, but she don't do N.A., but she knows about female offenders program and stuff, but she don't do N.A. I show up because I need the support. I show up because I know that I need women in my life, because I used to gravitate to men because women used to hurt me. And what they told me is about the newcomer, you need to give them a break. And when I say about the newcomer, they might just have 2 years or something, They need to grow, and you only get what you get. Because they ain't really done no steps. So, and I don't take nothing from a person, but when a person ain't established or whatever, you know, and things happen, it is what it is. But, that's why they say get to know a person, because sex, I confuse love for sex, or sex, when I got sex, I wanted love, and you know, and that's all in step four when it talks about. So sometimes, like, if I would have stayed still long enough, I probably would get God's best. For me. And that's why I show up, so I can learn how to be still. Learn how not to take nothing. Because they talk about it, what kind of relationship. Is you in a hostage relationship or because sometimes you can be in a hostage relationship. And I don't know, sometimes I don't know what kind of relationship it is, but it needs to be improved. It needs some work, you know. But what I know is that I got to trust God, and I got to give my life to God, because I'm on step three again, and I want with God's will and not mine, and I don't want to settle, and I don't want to compromise, and I've done that a little bit too long.
So I don't want to do that anymore. So I get involved. I show up to my home group. I do the things I need to do. And I have to make some decisions, too, with my children. Like with my daughter, Kathy, because sometimes she's so mouthy, you know. And I'm when you don't pay no rent or nothing and you're living in my house, you can't tell me what you don't want to do when all I ask is you just to clean up or something. Tracy said I got it bad, but I like my house clean. It makes me feel good. It's relaxing. Look, I work hard, you know, and when I come home, I want just things put in order. And sometimes my house be messy. You know, you just came over when I just got it a little bit together. Because you be clothes. I said, let me fold them clothes. And I'm for real, I had to fold them clothes because some furniture was coming today. And I need to tell you, I've been through some different challenges this year, taking care of people, and I had to, like, clean up my house. My house was falling apart, you know. I have experienced a deep powerlessness, like, and when I say a deep powerlessness, like, the stuff that had happened in my house and the stuff that, like, came in my house. And I had to, like, seem like I had to quarantine my house down. That's why it's important that my mother keeps her hygiene. I can't get her in a nursing home unless she be sick in the hospital. Then they'll put her in a nursing home. And it's just the pain. Like, it was pleasure to take care of my mother at the beginning because in 2004 I had got my mother. And that's when I found out my mother was really, really sick and nobody else wanted her. But my mother got sick. I'm her oldest. And nobody would take care of her. And she deserves a chance, too. And she deserves a chance to recover. And that's my hope, that one day she will recover. But if it's her choice that she needs to drink, or if she wants to drink, then that's her choice. And the people told me that I just need to do me and I need to surrender and I need to get a program. And they didn't know that I was in a program, that I had a program that I come to faithfully. Because what affects my mother affects me because I'm so relational. I love my kids. I want the best for my kids. And I need to say, though I have four kids, they all had a diploma. The baby girl is 21, that has a bachelor's degree. She just got it made first. And I've done the best I could as being a mother. And sometimes I just want some help. I don't want to be codependent anymore. I just want to be able to take care of Lisa. That's the second tradition. You're being self-supporting because I know self-sufficiency is a lie. And I just need to be able to take care of me on part-time even when she leaves. Because one day my mother's not going to be here and I can't count on her income. But I got to trust in the God of my understanding that serves that he's going to take care of me. So it's important that I stay clean. Because if I don't stay clean, I'm going to die. And then I'm going to add some more pain. But the inability to let go of some stuff and I stay in the relationship so longer is over the expiration date. And when I just, like, you know, I tell myself, you know, I know what a relationship's supposed to look like. It's supposed to enhance one another. It's not always supposed to be a take, take, take. You get burnt out like that. I'm supposed to have your back. You're supposed to have my back. But when you're taking, 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 and I'm getting burnt out, then I need to take another look. Sometimes I say, I got in around here. Did I get weak? Am I a punk or something? But I'm going to just keep on trying. You know, I'm not like, want to try to do women, you know, do some other stuff, you know, with other women. Like, I'm not waiting on you to take me nowhere. I'm a girl. I went to Hershey Park last week. I just been doing stuff, like with my grandbabies and stuff, you know, because I do got grandbabies. I got 9 of them. My oldest one is 16. And the blessing of that is some parents seen something in my granddaughter, was willing to make a better life for my granddaughter because Peabody High School was closing, and took her and so she could go to another school. And I know that's God. Because my oldest daughter got 5 and my other daughter got 4. And they all need help, you know. Because we always look for love in all the wrong places. See, Daddy wasn't there. But Mommy did the best she can. All I can be to my children is the best mother that I can be. I can't be their dad. I can't show up for them. But I can show up. I can be that attraction to them. They know that I'm in the program. They know that I'm up here camping. Being good to me is like, I'm so fearful. I'm a fearful little girl. I was angry when I came in here. I had some resentment. I thought I was done wrong out of key. And some of it, I got some unjustified anger, you know, because there's some things that was done to me. I was molested and stuff. Yeah, I'm very sexual. I do like to love, and when I love hard. If I'm with you, I'm with you. But I don't like you to manipulate and deceive me. Just tell me the truth and let me make that truth if I want to be with you. I made a lot of bad decisions or bad choices in relationships. I just want to be healthy. I want to be more freer. I just want to know how to do a healthy relationship, you know. But God is good. And being good to me is like, this year I learned how to, I got a learner's permit. And I ain't going to wait on nobody to take me nowhere, okay? And I'm going to learn how to drive, you know. That's being good to me, like doing some things for myself. Because I don't want to be codependent. Or just caught up expecting you to do things for me that I can do for myself. No. I am a treasure at my home group. I am a trusted servant. And that's only through showing up. No. And being good to me, I come to meetings so I can hear the similarities and not the differences. Like, what don't work for you? Because I know what it is with not to do in a relationship. I know what it is not. Don't cheat, because eventually you're going to get caught, and you're going to be in a fetal position, and you're going to be hurt, and then you're going to be humiliated, okay? But how do you love someone that's so unlovable? Maybe that's the test. And I need that inner strength to love people that's unlovable. No. No. God is good. I'm going to just keep on coming. Sometimes we recover slowly at a time, okay? Because one day I'm going to get it. I know what I want. I got some goals. I got some dreams. I just ain't got there yet, but I'm going to just keep showing up. I'm an editor called Lisa. Thank y'all for allowing me to share.
Thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. And could we have the reading just for today, please?
Hello, everybody. My name's Bill. I'm an addict. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in AA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using, who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
We have a nice way of closing. Is this going to be fair?
Thank you.